I don't want to miss it, God. So speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. If that's your prayer, say amen. Amen. Oh my gosh. Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff, and I'm a mess. Hi, online community. I'm glad you guys are here, too. I'm not going to lie. That happened first hour, and I thought I got it out of my system. And who knew that all you people that I love would show up this hour? And the Lord just, man, I just sat in the front row, and I'm like, oh, your story, just looking around and knowing you and knowing your stories and not knowing you, but imagining your stories and knowing what I'm preaching on, I just was just overwhelmed with God's goodness and his love. You give me, can we do that? Are we all right? Are we good? Everybody all right? Okay. A lot of times I just have to fake that. I just have to go like I'm not feeling emotional. I'm just going to stuff it down into some weird, deep, dark place, but could not do that today. So trusting, no, I know, right? Somebody's like, don't do it. So I'm so stoked and to be with you because I just love who we are as a church. I love what we've been about. Guys, mute me. I'm going to blow my nose one time, okay? Okay, thank you. Wow, that was good. You guys nailed that. We've been in this Easter Plus series, and we've come to the end of it. Easter Plus is such a fun term. We started this thing. You know, we after Lent, we were like, we finally came to Easter. Like, after Lent was that time of longing for Christ to come into the world, right? It symbolizes us longing, living in our brokenness, and living with sin, and being like, oh, we need a Savior, and we need God to come and defeat sin and death and restore us to himself. That's what Lent's about. It's the symbol of longing for God to come. And then Easter is the celebration of, yep, and he has. He has come. And so we celebrated Easter. And I think we even drink champagne at Easter? Did we do that? No, it was cider. But we toasted to life because it was a celebration of that. But Easter was, we were overwhelmed by God's victory and the vastness of his love and his mercy. And we proclaim Christ crucified and dead and buried and resurrected and bringing life to the world, that exalted as the head of the church and the Savior of all of humanity, the Lord of all things. We're like, Easter, like it was the best. And then remember this was the first sermon in the Easter Plus series. And that was, but Easter is only the beginning. And so we celebrated over these last 50 days. This is Pentecost Sunday, more about that in a minute. But the church calendar, the formal church calendar, celebrates Pentecost or Easter season from Easter Sunday to the Sunday of Pentecost. And our last 50 days has been a symbol of celebrating that Easter, what Jesus provided, is just the beginning. And in fact, he has broken into our world, and we experience that every day. And so these last 50 days is an example of that reality, that we, the life of the church comes now into focus, that we have continuing union with Christ. It permeates everything that we do. We've been celebrating over those 50 days. Do you remember the when we said Easter was only the beginning, that I used the illustration of getting married, and I showed that precious picture of Linda and me in our early 20s at our wedding? And it was like, it wasn't like that was the point of like the wedding, yay, like that's like Easter, we're like, yay. But it's like, oh no, the beauty was that was the beginning of the rest of our lives. And Easter is the first day, church, of the rest of our lives, where we walk in union and relationship with resurrection power with Jesus. So this is just like, so we were like, Easter Plus, we're going to celebrate. You may have noticed the tone of joy in our, well, until my prayer, but the tone of joy in these services, the Easter Plus services over the last several weeks, because we've been saying that, and this is it. We have these words that we've used several times for you. This is why so much joy, why so much celebration in Easter Plus. And it's because the resurrection of Jesus, was the inauguration of God's bursting into our present with his future reality. Is that not a great phrase? I don't know who we stole that from, but it's so good. The resurrection of Jesus, Easter, is the beginning. It's the first day of the rest of our lives, of the new creation. And not just Easter, right? You get what we're doing here. Like, it's a symbol. When Christ was raised from the dead, the kingdom of God was inaugurated, and he has burst into our present with his future reality. Now think about what those words mean. His future reality is going to be when the kingdom comes in its fullness, when all things are restored, when our stories are fully written, where every loss has been found, where every tear is over, where there's no more death and there's no more pain and there's no more longing and there's no more not yets. This is the day we're longing for when the kingdom comes in its fullest. We call that heaven, but it's so much more than heaven. It's the restoration of everything that's been in God's heart from the beginning. And that is what we're longing for, and it's now. Not yet, but it's now. It's burst into our present. It's not fully yet, but it's now. And that's what Easter says. And so that's what we've been celebrating. So what I'm doing, by the way, is I'm going to rehash a little bit where we've been. And then I'm going to give us one more thought about being Easter plus people. And then I'm going to make it a Pentecost Sunday sermon, because that's what this is, and tell you more about that. So that's where I'm headed today. But this is what we've been all about. We've been proclaiming that the kingdom has come now. You know the Lord's Prayer, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A couple of verses that we celebrated. One was Romans chapter 6, this idea of Jesus' resurrection bringing new life for us. Romans 6, 4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism. This is like the third sermon we've used this text. But think about it. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Christ was raised from the dead. Because of that, we get new life. Christ was raised from the dead, and so he inaugurated the kingdom of God where all things will be restored. Christ was raised from the dead, and so the kingdom of God has come. And because Christ was raised from the dead, we participate in that new life. We become kingdom people. We become Easter people. I have one other verse that I didn't put on the screen, but it's 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3. You can write that down, look at it later, and look at the context. This is Peter saying it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He's given us new birth through the resurrection. Praise God, because he has given us new birth. He has given us life. Because of the resurrection from the dead. Bottom line, you guys, we are now Easter people, is what we've been saying. Because of the resurrection, we are now Easter people. And that means we're full of life. And being full of life, we bring life. Being full of life, we bring life. God's full of life, raised Jesus from the dead, gave us life, now we bring life. Being full of life, we bring life. That's what we get to do. Isn't that great news? So being full of life, we bring life. This is what we've been preaching about. We said that the resurrection, here's the first sermon, was resurrection calls us to celebrate and bring life into every room we walk into. Then the resurrection calls us to bring life, celebrate and bring life to our souls, our internal world. The resurrection calls us to bring life to our neighbors through love. The resurrection calls us to bring life to the church through serving. The resurrection calls us to bring life to our culture. The resurrection calls us to bring life to the next generation, which was just last week in Pastor Shelley's sermon, by the way, crushed last week. If you did not see that, you have to make time immediately to watch that sermon. All of this is because we've been given resurrection life. Jesus raised from the dead, we've been given resurrection life, and now we bring life to our culture, to our neighbors, to our church, to every room we walk into, the next generation. We leave a legacy. We're people who bring life. Because we're full of life, we bring life. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Because we're full of life, we bring life. So that's what we've been all about. And this morning, I just want to say one more thing about being Easter people. One more way it sort of characterizes, and maybe it's almost a summary of the whole deal, but this is it. Easter people are crazy generous. Easter people are crazy generous. Being generous. In love, that's what generosity is, it's love. Easter people are crazy generous with their love. Because being full of life, we bring life. That's what we do. When you think of generosity, when you think about how someone is sometimes generous, when you think about the way generosity is showed, like one of the things that I always think of is I think of a meal. I think of an incredible meal. And that's just my eating issues, but maybe because it's in my DNA as half Italian. But I just think of like generosity just of this, like here's this meal. What do you think of when you get to hear the word generosity? What do you think of?
Time,
yeah. And somebody say money? Yeah, was that person on our leadership team looking at our budget? Is that? Yes, that's right. It's just this full of life. We bring life with our time, with our money. Yeah, yeah. What else comes to mind? Yeah.
Sharing.
Yeah, like sharing all of our stuff. Like, right? Like, and when you share something, you're cutting yours in half. Uh-huh. I mean, this is what God's people do. Like, full of life, we bring life. We're like, here we go. Like, I'm going to bring this to the table. Easter people are crazy generous about love. And here's the logic in it, okay? It's just like my logic is this. One, he gave his life away in love, Jesus did. He gave his life away in love, right? God so loved the world that he sent his only son. He gave his life away in love. And then two, he was raised to life, Jesus was, by the power and initiative of God. Three, and now he's given us that resurrection life. And four, then we give our lives away in love. It's about as simple as it actually, it's about as complex as it actually needs to be, this simplicity. He gave his life away in love because we then are filled with resurrection life and love, then we give our lives away. He gave his life away in love, we give our lives away in love. That's the logic behind the thing, but behind saying, okay, if we're gonna be Easter people, then we're gonna be people who are crazy generous with our love. So, in summary, we're Easter people, and Easter people are crazy generous. Is that my grandson?
Yeah.
Why are you bringing him in here? No, I'm just kidding. That's his first day in church, everybody. Welcome, Cliff. It's the best. It's his first day at church. We're Easter people, and Easter people are crazy generous. I'm going to look at one passage that kind of leads us there and tell you, and then kind of take you from there into what I think that means for us and what we're supposed to do about that, because if we're full of life, we bring life. But here's a text. I'm going to do a little Bible study. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, and I only have one verse on the screen just to get us started, but I want to look at about five verses, so I want you to open your Bible if you would. And so if you grab a Bible underneath the chair, if you've got your device open, and you can find it in your Bible app, Romans chapter 5. And Romans chapter 5, 1, and did you see this? I wrote 1 and the following verses. Did you see that? And the following verses. The guys who do the slides for me, they're like, why did you put all those words up there? That's weird. And I'm like, because I want to teach a congregation something, and I forgot this last week, that you could also put the words FF. Do you know this? Yeah, right. FF means something in Latin. And, I don't know what, following verses. That means something, but whenever you see FF from now on, you know it means end of the following verses. Isn't that good? The little trick. So if you're reading and you see somebody quote a scripture, like in your footnotes in your Bible with color on every page or whatever, Romans 5, 1, FF, that means 1 and the following text. Okay. Who's excited about that fun fact you just learned? Anyone? Yes. Okay, good. Thank you. Romans 5, 1 and following. Okay. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Okay, well, let's stop. This is going to teach us something. We're needing to be people who, when we get into the text, that we actually pause, we read each phrase, we look at all the things together, and we try to understand and comprehend what it means. Comprehension. Did you know that that studies are showing, is your comprehension getting worse as we get further into the digital age?
Yes.
Anyone? Yeah, well, that's because you and I are old. Might be the problem. Just teasing. But did you know that? Like, it's hard. Like, so Bible study is actually becoming harder for everyone in our culture, including those of us that grew up in a different age, because our comprehension's worse because of the way we've learned to take in info. And so we actually have to do a little extra work to read the sentence and go, wait, what? What's it saying? You finding that that's the case for you when you study scripture? Anybody else?
Yeah.
All right. So Let's do a little Bible study. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, right? We've been justified. We've been made right with God by faith. We've been made right with God by faith, not by anything we've done, not by our works, not by our efforts, not by our good deeds, not by us pulling our lives finally together. We've been justified by faith. It's faith in what Jesus did. Next phrase. Because we've been justified, therefore we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Again, reconciliation with God, connection with God through what? Through what? The resurrection, right? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection created this reunification with God, restoration in a relationship with God, through whom we've gained then access. We now have access to God, again, by faith. It's faith that allowed us to do that. It isn't anything we did, into the grace in which we now stand. So this is the summary of the gospel, right? We've been justified through faith. We didn't earn it. We've reconciled to God because of what Jesus did for us. And we stand now in that grace. We stand in that grace. We've been loved people. We stand in that grace. And then second half of verse 2, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now I want to pause there. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast. Another translation say, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now you're like, what is that phrase? We hope, or we boast in the hope of the glory of God? Every time you see hope in the scriptures, church, hope is a word that means this. It's pointing us to the day when all of God's promises will be fulfilled. It's pointing to the day when all of God's kingdom will come in its fullness. It's pointing to the day when everything that was created to be one day will be perfected, restored unto God, covered by the blood of Jesus. All whatever phrase you want to look at, whatever phrase you want to use, hope means that we believe that all of God's promises are going to come true and the kingdom will come in its fullness. So, when you look at this verse and you're like, therefore, it says we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access into this grace in which we now stand. This is the gospel's good news. And then it goes on to say, and so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What it's essentially saying is, and so we live, we're Easter people, we live every day saying, and one day, it is going to come in its fullness, and it is now. Not yet, but it's now. But it's not fully yet, but it's now. And so we will be people who rejoice in the hope of God's kingdom bursting in. That's what we're putting our hope in. You and I, as followers of Jesus, every day are putting our hope in the kingdom of God bursting in to my attitude, to my heart, to my disappointments, to my pain, to my longings, to the power that I need. We're asking God and believing that he will be glorified by showing up, by his kingdom bursting in. So the good news, what Jesus did, created that opportunity that we can then go. And so I rejoice. I boast. I'm like, you know what I'm about? I'm about the fact that God's kingdom has burst in and I am not left alone. That God's kingdom has come and I have transformation and I have power in my life. That God's kingdom has come and I'm a filled person. That's what we rejoice in. And it goes on, it actually goes in, so this is interesting. So when we say that, we're like, well, that all sounds fine and dandy, but you and I know life's hard and it sucks sometimes. And so Paul, in his genius, in his theology, paints the picture. He goes, and so, yeah, so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then look what he goes into after that. He goes, and not only so, but we're also going to rejoice in sufferings. Wow. Now, we have hardly anywhere to put this as Americans in the 21st century, except that everyone in this room secretly knows suffering, longing, not yet, waiting, brokenness. We all know it. And Paul's about to say, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice that the kingdom has burst in. And then we're like, yeah, but not. And he goes, wait, you're going to get that kingdom bursting in another way. Even when there's brokenness, So he goes, not only so, but we're actually going to be able to rejoice in our sufferings. That doesn't mean like, yay, that evil thing happened to me, or yay, that terrible thing happened. What it's saying is we're going to boast in it. We're going to be like, this is true. God's kingdom's burst in, people. No matter how difficult of a circumstance it was. God's kingdom is burst in because it says, right? It goes, not only so, but also in our sufferings, because suffering produces, you in your text, you got your Bible open? Perseverance, like it has to. I got to get through this. And perseverance, what? Because we're strengthened by it. And character, what? Hope. There it is. As you come back to hope. That's not the route we want to take. That's not the route it was always designed to be. And for some of us, we've had the worst tragedies happen in our lives. And we don't want to go that long route. But in the end, here's what Paul's point is. Whether your life's going well or whether you have to take the longest, darkest journey, in the end, listen, we rejoice, we boast that hope is true, that the kingdom has burst into our lives and we are filled people right here, right now, being met for whatever it is that we need to be met in. Do you hear it? Whether it's the best season in your life or whether it is the worst friggin' season in your life, hope is true. His promises will come true and the kingdom has burst in. We're Easter people. We're Easter people. We're the kingdom. God's future has burst into our present because of resurrection. Wow, that is a crazy passage. It's so beautiful to me. And it has come, and then this is where we're going to land here in chapter 5. In verse 5, it says, and that hope. So either way, hope's going to come. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Even if we're suffering, it's going to produce perseverance, character. Character will still produce hope. Hope's going to come either way. And then it says, look at verse 5. And hope what? Does not disappoint us or put us to shame. Hope will not disappoint us. To believe that God's kingdom has burst into our lives will not disappoint us. Because why? God has poured out. Here's generous. God has poured out his love into our hearts. By what vehicle? Through the Holy Spirit who he's given us. Wow. So, best time in your life, worst time in your life, the kingdom of God will break through and be present by God's abundant love because of the Holy Spirit. This is a generous God. This is why Easter people can be crazy generous in love, because God has poured out into our lives. When you see that word poured out, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That word poured out is not like, oh, come here, bring your little cup. Let me like, oh, that's enough. I don't want you to spill it anyway. You know, like it's not that deal. It's not like a little like, oh, I'm going to give you my love. Like, you, it looks like you need a little love. Come here and have a little candy. Like have one M&M. Like that's not the poured out. Like this word poured out is this word is just like, it's like fire hose poured out. It's just like sloppy, like all over the table, like way too much. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what are you doing? It's like your 4-year-old giving your 3-year-old Kool-Aid. Like that's like, like it is, this is what it means. God has poured out his love. You know, the point is everything you need. You're loved to the nth degree. It fills every crevice in your heart. It goes to every deep, dark place. It fills every need. God's love touches every part of it and more. It'll overflow your heart, soul, body, and go onto the table and down onto the floor. That's what it means. So we're filled people. And because we're filled people, we bring life. We're full of life, so we bring life, right? So this is what that text says. Great. So then what's that about then? And this is where we start to get into the Pentecost sermon, and we'll get there in a minute, right? It's through the Holy Spirit. So this is the good news. God's kingdom has come to us through God's love poured out through the Holy Spirit. And then the call on us then is to go and do likewise. His kingdom came to us by his love poured out. And then his call is for us to go and do likewise, to bring his kingdom by pouring out love around us. That's what he did. And that's what we get to do as his agents of all of that. Oh man, that's so good. Okay, I don't have time to go through this text, but I wish you'd go home and study 1 John chapter 4. But look at these two verses. First, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He loved us, we love others. He filled us with life, we bring life. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another and God lives in us, his love is made complete in us. Isn't that interesting? Nobody's ever seen God. God's invisible, but when we love, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, that's God at work and his love is made complete in us. And that's how we experience God's love, is through us loving one another. So man, what an incredible way that he's all set it up. And then he goes, and we love because he first loved us. So what might all this look like? What are we saying? We're saying Easter people are crazy generous because God's poured out his love into us, raised us to new life. And so we're going to pour out our love to others. So what might it look like? Well, it's going to look a little bit like a golden retriever. Kroners, I got you. Crazy generous love is unconditional. Doesn't that warm your heart right there, by the way? Who wants to just kiss that face? Like, let that dog lick your face. I want that. Crazy love is going to be unconditional. If you go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you're going to see words like love is patient, right? That's the famous love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind, right? And you just start to go through. There's all of this stuff. It does not dishonor other people. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. That sounds a lot like the love of God to you and me in our stories. It's poured out. And so we just go out and we pour out. We just pour. We meet people and we're like, we love you. Like, we love you right where you are. We love you with all your struggles. We love you with all your stuff. Like, we just love you. Like, we're like, here you are. Like, that's why it's a golden retriever. I got the story of my black lab when I was, you know, like a kid who would follow me to school every day, and I'd throw rocks at him and kick him and tell him he can't come to school with me, and he would still follow me. He just came after me. He would then learn to hide. He was like, this is like God. Like that's why dog spelled backwards. He would just keep coming. And he would hide behind a tree until I finally realized that's what he was doing. He was pursuing me. And I'd look, and I'd walk to school, and I'd be like, oh, good, he didn't follow me today. And then I started to learn to look back, and then he'd be like, wait and look for me, wait till I went around the next corner. Until finally one day he showed up in my 7th grade math class. Followed me all the way to school and then just walked down the hall in my school. God has pursued you with this crazy unconditional love. And the point of this is that we then get to love other people like that. But he came after you when you were lost, didn't know about him, didn't care about him, were in the worst moments, trying to figure out your life, all that. He knows your story and he has come after you. That's what we get to do with other people. We come present, available, unconditional love for people. And how that manifests itself, and we all have a million stories about it. Related, second, crazy generous love is also sacrificial. It's crazy generous love is also sacrificial. I put this picture up there because, listen, if you ask me two things, if you ask me to help you move and you ask me to stack wood, I do not love you or Jesus enough. That is not happening. But there's something about God's love, right? He sacrificed, he gave up his own life so that we get to give up our lives for other people. And like, what does that look like? Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life. That's language we kind of hear in the scriptures. We lay down our lives. In other words, we go, look it, I'm going to sacrifice what I want. I'm going to sacrifice me. And we're like, oh no, but boundaries and self-care. And I know, yes, and all that. And we put our lives before the King of Kings and we say, here I am, your way. I want what you want. And so we say it all of the time. We say, every dollar I have is yours. Every hour I have is yours. Every room I walk into is your room where you are at work and you're writing that story for me, like I'm there for you. And we say crazy generous love is sacrificial because we're laying down our lives to say, I will, as a filled person, filled with life, I'll bring life everywhere I go. That's going to be my motivation. That's what I'm going to be all about. And that's not, and it's costly. I mean, the really ironic thing is, you know, when Jesus is like, look at, you know, You Jesus said, if you would come after me, you're going to have to lay down your life. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And then he went on to say, because here's the thing, here's the irony of it. If you want to save your life, if you want to figure out how to do life, if you're looking for life at its fullest, he goes, he who tries to save his life, they who try to save their lives, will lose them. But those who give up their lives for my sake and the gospel, the good news, will find it. So the secret of life is being filled people and then pouring out and loving the way he loves. Crazy love is unconditional, it's sacrificial. Third, crazy love is about wanting what is best for someone. Wanting what is best for someone. Crazy love is about wanting what is best for someone. There's some really deep things about this that you want to stop and think about. Like, you know, like for sure, this is about love is not self-seeking. Like it's about wanting what's best for somebody else. It's about somebody once said, there's two ways to walk into a room. One way to walk into a room is, hey, here I am. And the other way to walk into a room is, there you are. And our God and us as his servants walks into every room going, there you are. There you are, I know right where you are in your story. How do I bring love, restoration, healing, life, joy, all this stuff? How do I bring that into this place? So crazy generous love is being there for what God's doing with other people. You know this, right? You know the cocktail party. You go to the cocktail party, you count how many words you had versus how many words you let somebody else have. You go to the dinner party, you walk away, and people are like, hey, who was this dinner party? You're like, I don't know, I didn't ask him a question because I talked about myself for the whole time. Come on now. Crazy, generous Easter people come in and go, there you are. God loves your story, so I love your story. And we reach into that. That's one thing about not being about being there for somebody else. The other part about being, as there's some truth piece to it. Crazy generous love is about wanting what's best for someone, so we bring truth. So we're steeped in God's word. We're steeped in the ways of God, and we don't force our truth over people. We don't beat people over the head with the truth. We wait for the Holy Spirit to do his thing with people, but we bring truth. We're not a people who lack substance, church. So loving people, we bring what is best for them. You don't do that in the first conversation, maybe, or the second, or the third, unless they're like, hey, tell me. We come with generous love, but part of being generous is we know what's true about life. And we see God at work in their lives, and so we help them. I picked this picture because there's a guy with a map. He's like together we're going to find our way. There's a way out. We're not just going to wander in the jungle together because I love you. We're going to wander. Okay. Last, crazy generous love is out of the Holy Spirit overflow of your tank. Crazy generous love doesn't come from us. You can't be better. You're not going to be more loving. This is why I always make that joke about the meme of a Boy Scout who's like helping an old person across the street. Like, when's that ever happened? But also, it's like the epitome of good deeds. That's not what we're about. We're not about good deeds, and you're probably not going to be better at it. If you are, you'd have done that already by now. But it's about overflow, you guys. It's about overflow. Because overflow is that here's the Pentecost sermon in 30 seconds, right? Pentecost Sunday sermon, the Holy Spirit has come. The love of God that we have is the overflow of the Holy Spirit. He's poured it out in the Holy Spirit who is in our lives. And so we have that life through the Holy Spirit. So we're not people trying to be better. We are people who are being transformed and empowered. We are not being better. We're not trying to be better. We are people who are being transformed and empowered. I'm going to say that again to this side over here. We're not people who are trying to be better. We're people who are being transformed and empowered because it is God's work through us. And that's what happens. The Holy Spirit overflows in abundance to us. And so Easter people are crazy generous because God is flowing out. Band, why don't you guys come out? I want to read one quote, and then I'm going to wrap up because I've already gone way, 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 way too long. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the quote from this John Mark Comer book. This is a great book. It's called Practicing the Way. A lot of what we're talking about here, subtitled, Be With Jesus, Become Like Him, and Do As He Did. It's transformation right in there. I'm gonna give you a challenge, and I'm gonna give you good news, and then we're gonna worship in response. By the way, this is great, but we gave out a bunch of these books, and our generosity in Easter Plus, we got like $5,000 worth of these books because we're like, you gotta have this book. So did you read it? Are you good? Is it on your nightstand? Okay, good. You know, if only we had more books. If only we had more books. Does anybody need one of these books? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, okay. Dave Brown, right, come over here and get that. You and Mike right behind you, and then start walking down the aisle till all four of them are gone, okay? It's $5,100 a book so far. We got more. We'll give you books. Here's a challenge, and I wanted to read it from him because it's really clear. An apprentice or a disciple of Jesus is one who has arranged their life around becoming like Jesus. If you had to summarize Christ-like character in one word, there would be no competition. It's the word love. Love is the acid test of spiritual formation. The single most important question is, are we becoming more loving? Not are we becoming more biblically educated, or are we practicing more spiritual disciplines, or more involved in the church? Those are all good things, but not the most important thing. If you want to chart your progress on the spiritual journey, test the quality of your closest relationships, namely by love and the fruit of the Spirit. Would the people who know you best say that you are becoming more loving? Would the people who know you best say that you are becoming more loving, joyful, and at peace, more patient and less frustrated, kinder, gentler, softening with time and pervaded by goodness, faithful, especially in hard times, and self-controlled? Are you growing in love, not just for your friends and family, but even for your enemies? When you are hurt, wounded, and treated unjustly, as we all are you finding yourself increasingly able to emotionally release the bitterness, to absorb the pain and not give it back in kind? To pray for and even bless those who curse you, as the scriptures say. And is all this feeling more and more natural and less forced? More and more like this is just who you are. If not, then no matter how well you know the Bible, how many books you read, how many insights you amass, or how many practices you build into your life, you're not on track. The most important question is, am I becoming more loving? That is a challenge, you guys, and I just want to say, if you, and the good news at the end here, Pentecost Sunday, if you're like, whoa, not so much, then I want to remind you that the solution is not to be better people, but to be transformed and empowered. For the Holy Spirit has come. We are now in the season of the life of church called ordinary time, where we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is ordinary to every day walk in transforming power through the God who loves us by his Holy Spirit in us. So the solution today, if we're like, whoa, I want to be that person, I'm not that person, is that we yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit within us. This morning, do you need a fresh wind of that Holy Spirit? Do you need a fresh outpouring of God's power in your life to help you become the person that he's always intended you to be? Crazy, generous, in love to the world, the way he was crazy generous to you. Then we come to the Holy Spirit and we say, more of you, Holy Spirit. Pour out, Holy Spirit. I want to be your woman. I want to be your man. Let's stand and worship and respond in that way. Thanks be to God.